CliffCentral.com.
All right, so we made it. You know, I swear I feel like I went for a haircut just the other day, but it feels like my head needs another cut. This morning I woke up, I was like, what the hell's going on in this head of mine? Sometimes look in the mirror and I'm like, what? I sometimes wake up and my hair is wild. It's like all over the place. And I think, what the hell's going on here? Really? Seriously? I had it cut just the other day. It was shorter. It was tidy. It was easy to manage. Space of, what, like a week and a half?
I don't know if you've noticed my 40s wave.
Yes, I saw that. Yeah.
A lot of effort went into this. I got up 4 hours early.
Jesus.
Stop.
Yeah, no, we'll stop. It was caused by my sleep apnea machine, my sleeping Jesus.
What, does it wind itself away around your pipes?
Sometimes it causes waves in a good way.
But it looks nice.
Mm. Yeah, I thought so too. Yeah. I won't show you the other half.
No.
You look very pretty.
Very, very nice. Very nice ass. All right, so how's everybody at the end of week 329,005 of lockdown?
Went to my first restaurant yesterday.
Oh, hang on. You went to your first restaurant?
Yeah, since lockdown.
Uh-huh. And how was it for you?
It was a business meeting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was kind of weird because, you know, you walk in with your mask and you write down your name and you have your temperature checked and you sanitize.
Yeah.
And then from then on, your mask is off and it's weird. You're sitting close to everyone at the table, you know. I know that things have been sanitized, but it feels kind of weird that you're using the same salt and pepper, and the menu was actually like a SnapScan version. Not SnapScan, but a scan version, so that you don't have to hold an actual menu.
It's such nonsense. Imagine if we did this for flu.
I wouldn't be ungrateful.
If we did this for flu?
Yeah.
Come on, Leanne. Doesn't there a part of you that just thinks this is a big charade? I know that you're a little bit more careful than I am.
Yeah.
But I went to a restaurant. So I went yesterday. I had a lunch meeting. And
yeah.
I took my mask, but it was like I just carried it in my hand. I really didn't give a shit. Mm-hmm. And then I sat down at the table, and I never put it on. I never put it on while I was there. I didn't sanitize my hands. They had a paper menu. I ordered the food. I didn't care whether the knife and fork had been dipped in gasoline or, you know, anything else.
Oh, geez.
I just carried on. And I had a very pleasant lunch. I didn't think about COVID.
Yeah. You know, the thing is, for me, I don't think of so much about myself, but I think about what if I infect my mom or someone else in the family. You know, that's where my responsibility lies.
Hmm. Yeah, I hear you. But now that the stats are out and that we can see that it's people in their 90s and people in their 80s only who are likely to die from this thing. And frankly, someone in their 80s and 90s is going to die from something.
Oh, jeez.
No, I mean, we've been totally duped. We've been completely duped. You look at what's going on in Australia. I don't know if you saw that video of that woman who was arrested by Victoria Police for organizing a silent protest in some backwater town. So this woman, let me tell you the story quickly. This woman is a mom, and she's a wife, and she lives in a place called Ballagong in Australia, which is near Melbourne. And Melbourne is in Victoria, which is the most draconian of all the Australian provinces when it comes to the lockdown. They've got this terrible, terrible governor called Daniel Andrews. Anyway, she went on Facebook and she said, listen, anyone else, and she's lost her job. One of her friends committed suicide, all because of lockdown. So she went online and she said, I'm organizing a little protest. It's going to be a silent protest. We'll all be masked. We will be socially distanced from each other, but we're going to go to this pack and we're going to protest. Anyway, so apparently
against lockdown.
Yeah, against lockdown. So yeah, we want to say that we've had enough of lockdown. By the way, 11 people in the whole of Australia died yesterday.
Sure.
Only one of them was not over 80 years old. Only one. Okay. So it's really time for them to open up. And Australia, because of their draconian lockdowns, because they all follow the rules in Australia and everyone's so frightened, I'll tell you what happened after the protest was scheduled to happen in a second, but because of that, they are way behind the rest of the world. They've developed zero herd immunity, just like New Zealand. And remember, people were saying, oh, New Zealand did it right. They locked down and they had rules and everybody followed them because they're such an obedient society. Well, they're screwed. They really are, because now too few people have got it in Australia, and it has not spread through the community, and kids especially, who become immune to it fairly quickly and are asymptomatic, as we've discussed.
Yeah.
They're at the point that we were in May, probably. Mm-hmm. So they've still got to go through the worst of it. Anyway,
sure.
Anyone who still thinks lockdowns are a good idea should look at this story. Then this woman is busy posting this thing on her Facebook about how she's going to have this protest. And the police arrive at her door, and they handcuff her, and they take her to jail. She's pregnant.
Wait.
She's pregnant. She's meant to go for an ultrasound that day, and she's complaining while they're arresting her that she's got an ultrasound scheduled. And can't she just take the post down, because this is kind of crazy? And they arrest her.
So she hadn't even started the protest.
No, she just put the thing on Facebook to say we're going to protest. So anyway, they eventually released her. She went back home and the news media were all waiting for her. And she said she's now too afraid to have the protest. So they won. The evil empire won. These bureaucrats, the vicious, ugly, nasty little man who is the governor of that province, Victoria, won. They basically intimidated this woman into changing her mind. And she said, you know, I'm a country woman. I'm a mom. I'm a wife. I'm not important. I lost my job. I feel very strongly that lockdowns are bad. And I've lost some friends and family during this time, and I think that the economy is ruined, and I'm just trying to have my say. But now I'm too afraid to even do that. So that they asked the premier, or the governor, or whatever they call them of that province, this Daniel Andrews, they asked him in a press conference. And by the way, this has gone all over the world now. Millions and millions of people all over the world have seen this video, including me. This guy goes, oh no, I haven't seen it.
Oh, no.
But the lockdown's very important, and we do not protest in Victoria. So
that's
clearly
not a good tactic.
No. If you ever think that we live in a draconian society here in South Africa, we do. I don't want to give our government any quarter, because they deserve nothing but our suspicion, especially because of this PPE scandal. They deserve nothing but our constant oversight and supervision, because they cannot make a good decision, even if they make one in error. That's how our government are. But this bunch in Australia, Jesus, I feel very sorry for people who live there and feel that they're free people, because you're really not. Clearly, according to a guy like Daniel Andrews, you are just a subject of his authority.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting that there are places in the world that you think are so advanced, first world, you know, and then this is how they treat their citizens. And don't tell me that lockdowns have worked. There is no proof whatsoever that they've done any good. And I dare you to come up with such proof, because the governments of the world can't. They can't.
So, Gareth, I feel like you've mentioned this sort of jokingly, but I don't think you are.
Yeah.
Wanting some sort of accountability,
yeah,
with lockdown and someone to pay.
Yes.
Now that, you know, the Dr. Mkhize has said the COVID-19 storm has passed and, yep, we're settling into things, would you still like some sort of accountability? Would you want some sort of accountability, someone, yes, for them to say, okay,
I'll tell you why. Not because of what has been done, which we can do nothing about, right? We can't reboot the economy. We can't save those businesses that have gone under. We can't get those jobs back for people who are now unemployed. We cannot save those people who committed suicide because of isolation and loneliness and fear. There's nothing we can do for those people. But what we can do is make sure that government knows that the next time something strikes like this, that they cannot handle it by only talking to medical experts. In other words, they need to understand that this is a macro situation, that it involves the economy, it involves people's rights, it involves society at large, it involves products that are and aren't for sale. It's a much bigger deal than just looking at the medical part of it, which is what they did. For a good 4 months, our government did not listen to anyone but a few medical experts, all of whom should be fired, by the way, for getting it completely wrong in terms of their modeling. If Leanne came into the show and told us 10 stories that were all fake news, and she woke up at 7:15 for 4 days in a row that I needed her, I'd eventually say, you know, Leanne, I'm going to need to fire you. If, Sia, we did a TV show on Monday and all the guests that you said you confirmed weren't there for the show, I'd need to fire you. These medical experts work at universities, or they work in think tanks or research groups or whatever. And when they make a prediction that's an error, it's like when a pastor of a church says tomorrow's Armageddon and the world doesn't end. Nobody holds that pastor responsible because they all just move on with their lives. Now, I believe that those people need accountability, because then the next time they do a model, they won't fuck it up so badly.
Especially because it's been so damaging. And like you say, the things that we are concerned about are people's lives that have been lost related to COVID, but not because of it.
Yeah.
And whose livelihoods have been lost. And businesses, even the businesses that have made it, they're still scarred. And it could take, I read the other day, 8 years to recover for some of them.
Our country's economy was not doing well before this. This has set us back 10 years. So for me, as a person who started a business 6.5 years ago, it's going to take us at least that long to get to where we were. Unless miraculously things start to improve in a rush. Now, it's not about me. It really isn't. Let's do it better next time. And in order to do it next time, we need to sit down and do a proper analysis of how badly it was done this time. So the first group I've already mentioned are government and their decisions, right? Their lockdown decisions, which have been detrimental to everyone in society, except the illegal tobacco and cigarette people. So the government need to be called in, and we need to have a Truth and Reconciliation Commission around this. Anyway, look, I mean, I also don't want to go over territory that we've gone over a million times, and I sometimes feel in the mornings that we're doing that because I don't want our listeners, who are smart people, to think that we aren't aware of these fuck-ups by other people, you know? And I know that these are the conversations people are having at dinner tables and everywhere else, so it's stuff we want to acknowledge. Okay, we got some headlines, so we're going to get to those in a second. I'm just checking that we're on, because Bulelo just sent me a message to say, is everything okay? So I hope he can hear us. Bulelo, just send me a message to let me know everything's cool, and then we'll get on with the headlines.
It's one of those days with the internets.
The internets of things, yeah.
Yes.
All right, so where shall we start with the headlines today? I know what we'll do.
Start with number one.
You know what? We'll start with number one.
Okay.
This DA, this Democratic Alliance, is such a messy party. They really are. I feel sorry for them because they're racked with internal problems, which they sometimes acknowledge and they sometimes don't. They're heading for a leadership battle featuring Balin Tuli, who we've had on before, and John Steenhuisen, who we've had on before. And both of them are nice people, and they're running a party that has okay principles. They're not bad principles. They seem to have run those metros which they've been given the trust of the people to run as well as anybody. But they are racked by internal problems. John Moody left. Now they're claiming that he was asking for sex for jobs while he was the leader in Gauteng. Salim Simanga's taken over. He says factions aren't his focus. So he's going to get on with it and act as DA, Gauteng provincial leader. I didn't know who John Moody was, I must be honest with you, before he resigned. Did you?
No, I saw the headline and I was Yeah, it wasn't like it was, oh, shame, you know, or
yeah, who dat?
Wow, him.
Who dat guy?
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. Didi Mabuza, David Mabuza, has blamed Eskom's aging fleet of power plants for load shedding. This guy. He pitches up out of being half dead. And now clearly he's been rolled out to say what's going on with Eskom, because you've also had load shedding this week, right?
Yep.
And we're going to have it all weekend.
Annoyingly so.
Yeah, we're going to have it all weekend. Stage 3 load shedding on Friday and Saturday and Sunday. So this mongoloid who we have as a deputy president, who has been doing nothing for 3 months where he said he was sick, suddenly appeared in Parliament. And he tried to make excuses for Eskom, which, look, I'm totally aware of the fact that Eskom is the last thing anyone in government wants to talk about, because they don't know what they're doing. And Eskom has been run into the ground. They haven't maintained any power plants. He says it's, oh, we've got aging power plants, but you don't. We built 2 new power plants, the Kusile one, and what's the other one called? I can never remember. Anyway. There are 2 new power plants that we built under the ANC government, and that neither of them are working at the moment. Neither of them are working.
Oh, gosh.
So get your shit together, you useless bunch of cretins. You're an embarrassment. It's like watching a bunch of complete ignoramuses trying to tie their shoelaces, bending their bodies over the wrong way. Can you imagine that?
Medupi,
thank you.
Medupi.
Sorry.
Medupi, yeah. And Kusile. We paid billions for those 2 power plants to be built, and neither of them are working right now. That's why we've got load shedding. Just terrible. Embarrassing. So he pitches up. He says, I'm going to answer these questions. He says, we are confident that by the introduction of Medupi and Kusile into the grid, I think Medupi will be operational probably by the end of the year if everything goes well.
Such confidence, yeah. I think
it will be, yeah, probably by the end of the year if everything goes well. Gradually it will reduce the pressure.
No.
I mean, this is a person who we should not ask for any information. He's not a person to be taken seriously. The further introduction,
what should he say? How should he phrase it?
He should resign, and he should go and live inside Kusile Power Station.
With no lights,
and he should go and resign, and that is all he deserves. He does not deserve a happy life for the way that he's been deputy president. He's so bad at his job. Anyway, says, the further introduction of IPPs, that's independent power producers, will further reduce the pressure and we're facing currently in disruptions of load shedding. He raised his eyebrows when he said that the government did not know the funds set aside for combating COVID-19 would be stolen along the way. Does anyone believe him? No.
Oh, not feeling good about any of this.
Yeah. So there's Didi Mabuza doing his thing. Oh boy. All right. How about this? Norma Gigaba says, my children were struggling at school. This is great. Now you get your children in on the excuse list. Former finance minister and ANC Youth League leader Malusi Gigaba's wife, Norma, has opened up about her arrest in July. In her 50-page affidavit, City Press said she's recently announced on her Instagram account she was reintroducing herself with her maiden name, which is Ngoma. Yes. Described how her arrest on charges of malicious damage to property and crimen injury had affected her 9-year-old and 7-year-old sons. You don't say. Your mother's a nutcase who scratches the hell out of someone else's G-Wagon, and you think your kids are going to come out looking good?
Oh, but,
unpopular opinion, I like when we have a bit of random drama in this country. You know, in the States, you see tons of, you know, people going to court and there's divorce settlements. And, you know, I get excited every once in a while when we have that here in South Africa. So I understand it's a marriage that's breaking down. It's a minister, well, a former minister who should be focusing on his work in public office. But
he doesn't even have a job. He doesn't even have a job anymore. I don't think he is in government at the moment. I'm not sure. Stand to be corrected. But But remember, while he was finance minister, while he was running the most difficult portfolio in government, he was sending dick pics to some other girl.
And it's also, you know, these kids' lives that will never be the same. But all of that aside, I'm enjoying this. I saw her post on Instagram, and she's changed her hairstyle as well. And she wants people to go, oh, you've shaved your hair. It's such an emotional decision. I am watching all of this with a bowl of popcorn.
Okay, well, if you think that someone has improved because of their hairstyle changing, you're an ignoramus like she is.
Oh, yeah. I know it is mindless, but it's just going to get messy.
Mindless,
believe you me.
Mindless is the word. This woman and her husband are both two of the stupidest people in the world. They are completely devoid of any ideas or intelligence, and they are not fit to be parents either. She says this: my two minor children were present at the house at the time of the arrest. The discussion of the hawks took place in their presence, which was obviously traumatic for them and very insensitive on the part of the police officers.
Oh, so I love that she talks about the arrest, but not about the attack.
No, I mean, were they there when you scratched the car to pieces in a foul temper and screamed about what an asshole your husband was, their father? My children were struggling at school, with teachers having called me to notify that the children were upset as a result of conflict in the home. You don't say. This is how we end up with children who are sociopaths or children who are unable to integrate into society properly. Because bad parenting is this, precisely what we're talking about now. Apparently she said she thought the G-Wagon belonged to Peterson Siaya, but there have been media reports that it actually belonged to Tapelo Tsepe.
So what is she saying? She got the wrong car?
Yeah, well, Lucy was driving it. That's all that mattered to her, so she decided to ruin it. Anyway, this is just terrible. I don't feel sorry for anyone in this story except the children. I feel sorry for the children that their parents are such morons. That's what I feel sorry for.
Think about the children.
Yeah, the children. Comair said that they were hoping to be operational again in December if their business rescue plan is accepted. The plan was published on Wednesday. It'll allow creditors and shareholders 2 weeks to consider and adopt the plan. Now, why this is a good idea? Well, they're suggesting a fresh equity injection of 500 million rand in return for 99% of the shares, of which around 15% of the shareholding would be allocated to BBBEE partners. Around 400 employees.
BBBEE.
Yeah, that's how it's getting. I mean, that thing is now 6 letters long.
Yeah.
You know that there are whole companies in South Africa whose entire job it is to consult on BEE stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And they probably charge more than anyone else. Government think they're helping black business by doing all this stuff. All they're doing is making it harder for ordinary people with ordinary ideas to get into business. Meanwhile, you know, your politically connected elite, they're the people who just keep getting the BEE positions. So terrible. Anyway, I hope Comair get back up and running, because we need more.
We need some planes in the sky. South Africa don't have much going on.
People need to start flying again, man, and they need to start traveling. And that's how a lot of important business will be done. That's how travel and tourism will take off again. We need this working.
It's sad to even just go on their website. You know, like Kulula's website is still active, but just has this long strip across it that says, we are currently not flying.
Oh, my God, that's terrible. And you imagine all the crew and the pilots ground crew that are not working and haven't been for 6 months. It's terrible. One last story. Let me see what might interest you here. This is a health story, so this might grab your attention. Gene-edited babies. The technology could one day prevent parents from passing on heritable diseases to children, but they need to do a whole lot more research, apparently.
Yeah, when we start fiddling with that stuff, something goes wrong, hey?
Uh-oh.
Well, guess where they've been fiddling with the world's first gene-edited babies? It was 2 years ago.
South Africa?
No. 2 years ago, it was in China, obviously, with no rules around this. You can make a virus. You can fiddle with people's children's genes. Amid a fierce global backlash, the scientist responsible was jailed. A committee was set up in response. Most countries have regulation in place preventing babies from being born after gene editing, but the incident led to calls for strong international consensus.
Yeah, it's one of those things with how far do you go? Yeah. I mean, for instance, what is available in South Africa is you can shake the genes around or whatever it is.
When it comes to babies and you use the word shake, I didn't know where that was going.
And you can, I don't know if it's the boy or the girl's, which float to the top or sink to the bottom, and you can choose your sex that way.
Oh.
So then how far do you really go, you know?
Yeah.
Remove the temper gene, remove the sociopath, psychopath genes.
Not to sound horrible or insensitive, if there are babies that have, you know, are a result of gene editing, are those parents now looking at the kids like, oh, you were basically created in Chernobyl? We're going,
no, well,
will there be problems with you in 10 years' time?
Look, if you knew, here's the question you have to ask. If you knew that you could save your child from a whole lot of inherited diseases, it would be morally irresponsible not to, right? But if it changed the child so substantially in terms of its genetic makeup that it was almost an artificial child instead of being yours, would you still want it?
Sure.
But what's the definition of artificial child? I mean, like, if you were there in the whole process, if, for example, you have your wife carrying the embryo for 9 months, I would assume it feels like your own, even if it has blonde hair and blue eyes. Meanwhile, you're as blackety black as me.
I don't know the answer, but I think that we need scientists, we need ethics professors and experts in morality. Maybe we need input from the spiritual community. Maybe we should let parents be the ones who decide. Look, I would have children if I knew they would be superhuman.
Well, I think whoever wants to have these children should decide. And it's fascinating to me how this conversation will evolve. I think in 50 years' time, we'll all be singing such a different tune because it will be the norm or perhaps largely acceptable. But let me see if I can find this article that I was reading sometime this week around South African costs for just having children. And this is if you want to have IVF or become a surrogate. I was very surprised at the costs.
It's hugely expensive. Guys, yeah. I don't know. If we start messing with this, we're going to regret it in the future. So there's so much is going to go wrong.
As long as you don't have an arm growing out of your head, I think you'll be all right.
what do you think will go wrong, Leanne?
It's the psychological, it's the mental disorders and things that I feel are going to be the problem. Not so much physically. But if they start messing with personality, if you take away from one part, something else is going to suffer.
Yeah. Well, we don't know. This is the problem. We don't know enough. And they're saying they need to do more research. They need to figure out a whole lot more. Because the genome is, although we might have mapped it out, we still don't know what some of those genes do. You know, we figured out a large proportion of them, but we still don't know what the junk DNA does. We don't know how we can edit it with this technology called CRISPR, but we're still not entirely sure whether it's going to work or not. And the proof's in the pudding. Now, you can't, unless you have no ethics at all, can't produce a barrage of children just for the sake of experimentation and then let them loose on the world and hope everything will be okay. You know, if nature does that, we call it evolution, but that happens over millions of years.
Huh?
Or at least thousands of years.
So here we go. I found this reference. So this is just if you want to have a child in South Africa. So IVF, a term that is so commonly used nowadays, but IVF starts at around 50,000 rands and can go up to 135,000 rands.
That's expensive.
And that's a pop per pop.
Yeah. Exactly, per round.
Yeah.
Screening costs that are involved to having a child medically start at 17,000 rand and can go up to 25,000 rands. And then there are also legal costs involved in a process like this that can easily start at 60,000 rands and go up to 85,000 rands. Huh. If you are, for example, a lesbian couple and are looking for a sperm donor, sperm banks and the costs associated with that can easily go up to around 5,000 rands. And then should you be a woman who decides to carry a child for someone, you can be paid between 10 to 15,000 rands every month as a surrogate.
Sure. Wow.
Look, given the time of economic times, if I had a womb,
you'd be renting it out, would you, Sia?
Woo!
Would you be
15,000 rands a pop? Oh yes.
Would you be renting it out?
I would be renting it out, and be one of even. I would be even more annoying with my demands. Like, I'm sorry, you know, this baby today is craving gluten-free, organic. What not?
Yeah. All right. I got you. So listen, a couple of things Leanne and Sia have on their mind this morning that I think you might be interested in. Leanne is basically a real estate agent.
Oh, my word, yes.
Because you're trying to find tenants for all this different kinds of property, industrial, commercial, residential.
Yeah. I realized last night that I've got this portfolio. I mean, any property that you want, I can give you. So, for instance, I've got a cottage on my property.
Uh-huh.
My tenant is leaving. She has to move home because her mom's ill.
Okay.
So I've got that.
Yep.
I'm looking at a house share, so I've got that option. I'm also looking at the option of moving into the cottage and renting the entire house. So there's that option.
Yeah.
I have a restaurant on my portfolio.
I'm writing all this down. I'm trying to see which one I want.
Okay. A fully equipped restaurant for sale. I've also got that same restaurant to let. I have a number of near-finished units, 8 of them, which could be let as art studios.
Wow.
And an art gallery.
Yeah.
I have a hydroponic garden on a rooftop.
excuse me?
Yes. I have a residential apartment on the third floor. So, yeah.
Sounds good.
If you're looking for some way to live or work, I can help you.
Okay. Great.
Or group plans.
Basically, your one-stop shop for any property needs in Johannesburg, Leanne Mull.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Jesus.
Anyway, wow. So yeah, talk about posting a lot of ads on online and just now waiting for emails to come in. Let's see how
you're
it goes.
You're a bit of a... No, this reminds me of a great property developer who rose and rose in the 70s and 80s, a Donald J. Trump. So good on you, Leanne.
Leanne is going to be the next Trump of Johannesburg.
Yes.
Trump.
Yeah, you should put your name on every building. Leanne. Like he puts Trump on everything.
Hey, right. It's worked out for him. Let's not knock it.
You want some messages? Yeah. We've got busy people this morning. We looked into adoption. And it was about 60,000 rand, says Kay. Yo.
Wow.
So a friend of mine was interested in adopting, and she started the process. And her very, very first phone call was so off-putting that it was ridiculous. So she phoned an adoption agency, and this woman answered, "Hello?"
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
And so my friend said, "Hi, I'm just starting the process. I'm interested in adopting. Can you maybe advise me on the way forward?" And this woman said, "Do you want a black one?" Because we only got blacks.
Oh, my God.
So she was like, "Well, I haven't thought that far yet, but..."
Jesus.
So know,
she was just making an inquiry. Oh, wow. Sure.
Oh gosh, so, yeah, she got to the point where we were, as friends and family, writing testimonials for the family and that sort of thing. But yeah, then COVID hits and it was all a bit of a mess.
I would assume, though, that if you were fostering or adopting a child, the state should subsidize that in some way. Because, I mean, you are relieving the state of a child.
No, you know what I don't like about that? Then you end up with the problems that the US has, where you've got corrupt or criminal parents who are just looking for the money, foster parents, and they're abusive to the children.
Yeah, and also, I'm particularly unhappy about paying for other people's kids that I didn't make. I didn't make your kids. I'm not going to pay as a taxpayer for your kids to be raised. Sorry.
Well, in any case, we still are with state homes.
But are there still orphanages? This is what I want to know. My mother used to threaten me with going to the orphanage.
Yes.
All the time. And I was so afraid of an orphanage as a child. That was like the worst thing that could happen to me.
But also in our minds, it was like Oliver Twist. That's yes. what it looked like.
Yes,
exactly.
Yes.
Oh, so they would lay it on. They'd say, oh, you have gruel every morning for breakfast and gruel every night for supper, if you're lucky. Mm. And you have one blanket your whole life. And you get to work during the day in factories.
Yeah, everything was about cold and hunger.
Yeah, my parents put the fear of God into me. Like, I would behave badly and they'd say, we'll send you to the orphanage.
I wonder how many are underneath the state as opposed to a foundation that's privately run or a home that's privately run.
Yeah, I don't know that the state runs orphanages anymore. And if they do, they certainly haven't done anything to make themselves, to make anybody proud of what they're doing. I don't know. I mean, obviously, there are lots of kids who are given up for adoption. I get that. And that's a great tragedy. There's nothing we can do about it. It happens in individual situations for very different circumstances. And I always have said that people who adopt children are, to me, the real heroes in society, because they take someone else's kid and they decide they're going to raise that kid with love and with care and with all the resources that that the biological parents might not have had. I think it's tremendous.
Mm. But, you know, damn, then you're looking at 60,000 rands just for one child.
See, now suddenly people who might have all the best intentions and not the money can't adopt. It's very sad. Australia, we were talking about Australia at the beginning of the show this morning. Australia is such a nanny state. Some of the anchors in Sky News Australia are very conservative. See if you can find clips on YouTube. I can't think of any mainstream media outlet here that would allow some of those views. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have actually seen some of those guys. And then someone else from Western Australia, Vinny, says, Australia is like the Spice Girls. Every state does their best to fight the virus, and it's only Victoria that doesn't give a shit about fighting. I'm in Western Australia, and we're doing quite well, and we don't have such draconian lockdowns. Yeah, and Western Australia is basically a law unto itself, which is great. So it should be.
God bless Vinny for that beautiful analogy.
Yes. Here's something interesting. Jonathan Carter is saying, very interesting that you chose to ignore the Luntman article that he's attached on the Burning Platform when it's being read so widely. I like the Burning Platform. It needs to be taken with a pinch of salt. All right, Jonathan, I'll calm yourself down. Take a big, deep breath.
Calm your tits.
You know, Jonathan wants the Burning Platform to be the things that he has on his agenda. And we don't always get to that every week. But I promise you, I wasn't ignoring it. It's amazing when, like Jonathan says here, you choose to ignore. Now, you sent me this article on the 17th of August, 2020. Okay, I didn't get a chance to read it. I haven't read it yet. I'm sorry if that makes me ignorant, but I get lots of stuff on my desk. I try to watch as much TV and pay attention to as much as I can in the news. Go online and I research things wherever I can. But we missed the story. So Jonathan goes, you're ignoring it on purpose.
Mm-mm.
Jonathan, please. I promise you we all have a million sources for information. And your letter by J.P. Luntman, who is a very smart man, and I'll probably read the thing and agree with you. The fact is, we didn't choose to ignore it. You're not the only person listening Jonathan. I'm so glad you do listen, but I promise you we're not ignoring you. Ooh. Seems like maybe you just think the world revolves around you, but there are other people. So you know what I'm going to do, Jonathan? I'm going to download this fucking letter right now. And next week we'll start the burning platform with it, all right?
Is there anything else?
No, I mean, I like Jonathan, but really, like, it's all about him. Morning, guys. Leanne, can I plant cannabis in your hydroponic garden?
I don't think it's illegal, is it?
No, I think you can.
Technically, is it a home? Wasn't that the condition, that if it's homegrown, it's fine?
Yeah, no, this is like quite a big scale.
Yeah, maybe. So it's a huge rooftop, huh?
Yeah.
Because a rooftop's a perfect place to plant a cannabis garden because people can't see it from the street.
Yeah, because it's enclosed in a structure as well.
Excellent. That sounds perfect. Leanne, you know what? If you can't find someone to rent this place, then go and plant your own weed up there and sell it.
That's a good idea.
Leanne, right, business is business.
Very good.
Let's not have this discussion here.
Yeah.
I'll send you a letter in the mail so that we don't get caught.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a great pun that you can work on in branding it as well. Something about get high and it's on a high rooftop.
Oh, yes.
See, okay. I'm coming in with the branding consultant.
We can call it Malawana.
Die. I'm here for this party. Okay. CliffCentral.com.